point of view
on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.
Very important conversation we're about to have right now. Childhood cancer. The month of September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. And it's important that we have this conversation. I was about 9 years old when I'd lost one of my best friends in primary school, Spamandla, to cancer. It was a confusing time. And the confusion led, I guess, at the time to pain we felt. We had no idea why he had to die so young. He passed on from leukemia. And we had so many questions, but I don't think the adults around us at the time had the right language to talk to us about what was going on, to explain to us what leukemia was and what cancer was and all of these sort of things. And we lived on with that trauma for quite a bit. And this is why this conversation is so deeply personal for me. And joining us to have this conversation is the head of the pediatric oncology unit out at Charlotte Macleke Hospital, Prof. Jeanette Poole. Prof, good evening. Thank you so much for your time.
Good evening, and good to be here.
Firstly, I just want to apologize for starting so late. We were meant to start a little bit earlier, but the work of accountability is not comfortable, as I said to Pule Mame then, so we had to ask some tough questions.
Yes.
Prof, let me start here. How prevalent is childhood cancer? I mean, you at the Charlotte Macleke Hospital treats about, 40 to 80 children per day. That's a shocking number for a single hospital. And I would just imagine all the other academic hospitals across the country dealing with probably similar numbers. Just how prevalent is childhood cancer?
I mean, it's not, childhood cancer is not a common disease, but it can be, it's much more different to adult cancer in that it can be cured. So the earlier a child gets diagnosed, the better it is for the child's outcome. It's relatively rare as opposed to adult cancer. Nevertheless, it still is an important cause of morbidity and children can die from it, but also can be cured from it.
Yeah.
Diagnosed early enough.
I mean, you say that it's curable and that children often do not die from this, if I understood you correctly, but it also seems to spread much quicker as opposed to adult cancer. That seems like a very interesting medical paradox to me. I'm assuming early detection is key in this instance. Talk to us about some of the warning signs for early detection.
So the most common childhood cancer actually is leukemia, and which is a cancer of the bloodstream. And this is a very will present quite quickly because once the blood is involved and the bone marrow is not working all that well. Then the child will present with signs and symptoms that will be that they'll some people would recognize as being a potential to have cancer. So a lot of the warning signs of childhood cancer are not specific, but if you have a high index of suspicion, then you will be able to pick these things up early, and therefore you'll be able to diagnose them early. So, for instance, leukemia, the child can present with anemia, which is a low hemoglobin in the blood.
Mm.
So the child might be quite tired, not able to keep up with his mates at school, have a sleep in the afternoon. This might be together with some bruising that's not related to any kind of normal wear and tear that children go through. bruising on the legs or get some gum bleeds or nosebleeds that don't actually stop. And then also with some bone pain and just generalized aching bones that doesn't go away. And especially in young children, it could mean that the child actually will stop walking or be very, very irritable when picked up. So those are the warning signs of leukemia.
Mm.
There are many other warning signs, and we have the St. Silouan warning signs, which is a whole, there are six categories, and Silouan is like a mnemonic, so you can go through all of them.
Can you just say that again?
Silouan. Okay, so Saint Silouan was a Greek monk.
Okay.
Okay, so it's S-I-L-U-A-N, and each letter stands for one of the warning signs of childhood cancer.
F being the first, let's start there.
So S is to seek. Oh, yeah, S okay. is to seek help as early as possible. So if you have a symptom or a sign that doesn't go away, then you need to take your child to a doctor. And if it's so many children present with similar signs, but these are things that don't go away for a period of maybe over 2 weeks. Then I is for the eye signs. So one of a common childhood cancer is called retinoblastoma, which is a cancer of the retina of the eye. So it's the back of the eye that sees. And that often presents as like a white dot or a white spot in the eye. Or if you take a picture with a camera, you will not see the red eye. So you remember when you take a picture with a flash, you'll see this red eye reflex. And if there's a cancer in the eye, then that reflex does not appear. So the eye will appear like a white. It will appear white or dark, but not red. So parents often pick this up quite early, but it's often not recognized by healthcare workers. You know, they just say, okay, here's some eye drops or something like that. Parents are actually quite astute at picking this up, but it's not always recognized by healthcare professionals or primary healthcare. Sometimes the eye bulges out. It sort of pops out of the eye because there's something behind the eye, and that can also be a warning sign of childhood cancer. Then if a squint develops, so if the child has a squint, that the child is normal and then at a certain age develops a new squint, that's also a danger sign that may be a sign of childhood cancer.
My mom is a foundation phase teacher, she often tells me about sending letters to parents and calling parents and saying, hey, your child might have an eyesight problem. We've moved them to the front of the classroom where they sit closer to the blackboard, but they still don't see too well. And we see there's some sort of mismatch in what they see and what they write. And we think it might be motor skills, but it's not because they, you know, can catch a ball, but for some reason they can't see too well. Is that something that when a parent hears from a teacher that should,
it all depends. I mean, if it's something that is like that, there's no other like sign in the eye. Okay, so one of the things about childhood early development is sight, but that doesn't necessarily mean childhood cancer. So this is something that appears out of the blue. That is not
right.
Something that's been there all the time. So I mean, childhood cancer develops, but it's not there all the time, because it will, you know, the cancer will develop and grow. So it's a new thing. So it's usually one eye that has a problem, not both eyes.
That's interesting.
And, you know, so you don't want to... yes, it's important that the child gets their eyes tested for their sight, but it doesn't usually mean that they will, that there's something else is wrong. But if it's associated with something else, okay. For instance, the N in the last one is neurological or signs of the brain. So that if you have a problem with your eyesight that is newly onset, so it's not something that's been there all the time, associated with headaches and vomiting, okay, then that constellation of signs, okay, may mean that there is a brain tumor. So, but it's all children that have an eyesight problem is not a brain tumor. So, you have to see what is it associated with, okay, and is it not going away? Is it not, you know, something that is just, it's new, that the child was absolutely fine up until a certain point and then suddenly started having a problem.
Prof, you mentioned that childhood cancer is for the most part curable. Talk to us about some of the treatment regimens that children with cancer go through and the implications thereof.
So it all depends on what the cancer is. But most of childhood cancer, we usually give chemotherapy to. Then if there is something that can be removed or surgically removed, for instance, if there's a cancer of the kidney, which is another common one, and it often presents with a bulge in the tummy, okay, or the mom notices that the tummy feels a bit hard. That is very, very curable. So we use a combination, depending on the stage, of chemotherapy and surgery. And then if it's a higher stage, then we also will give some radiation to that area. But we try and avoid radiation as much as possible in kids, although it's not always possible because of the late stage sometimes, because radiation can have, can cause damage to other things like bones, the brain and that sort of thing. But we try and avoid it, but if the child presents early enough, then we'll not need it. But if the child presents quite late, then we have to use a combination of all three modalities of treatment. But chemotherapy is actually the mainstay, especially in leukemia. That's what we will give is chemotherapy.
Give us a call. The number is 086-000-959. Perhaps you have a question for Prof. Poole about childhood cancer. Perhaps there's a child in your family, in your community that whose story you want to talk about and perhaps just get some clarity around. Give us a call. It's 086-000-959. Prof, let's talk about the cost of treatment and therapy. I don't assume that it's very cheap. I don't assume that and not just on, the cost to the hospital, but the cost to the families as well. Typically, what sort of adjustments do families have to make when they've now discovered that they have a child who is living with childhood cancer and has to go through some sort of rigorous therapy?
So it's a huge burden on the family. So most of the state hospitals that are attached to universities have the treatment, which is adequate, well, it's standard of care treatment. Okay, so they will get the treatment that is necessary to cure them in the first instance, and that is, the treatment is given according to the patient is classified according to their income. So if the child is under six, for instance, and they are not on a medical aid, then they will get treatment free of charge. But that's not the only cost, because the child has to spend quite a long time in hospital, or long periods of time in hospital, or come frequently to the hospital.
Mm.
And that means that somebody has to bring the child to hospital and stay with them. And if it's the only breadwinner, or it's the person with the job, and there are a lot of our families that, you know, are not, you know, don't have, you know, a mom and a dad, you know, there's always some problems. Then there's a huge burden on the family. There's also other children that might have to be staying at home, and then they get kind of neglected. They have to go to school, and, you know, then it's a huge burden on the family. So we try and help them as far as possible in that regard. There's also transport costs. I mean, they have to get to the hospital. And so what happens is that we have the Childhood Cancer Foundation that has that supports all the families, and they have a transport fund for people to come and go to the hospital. So every time a child has to come, they will get some money to get a taxi or whatever there is. But also there are houses that are run by the foundation that are close to the hospitals. And so if the child needs to come frequently or stay for long periods of time, then they can stay at the house, which is completely free of charge.
Does the foundation also provide any sort of psychosocial support? I would imagine a lot of parents would need some sort of counseling as to how to have a conversation with your child about what they're going through.
So the Childhood Cancer Foundation also is sponsoring has social workers in all the units, most of the units, which have been, their salaries are paid for by the Childhood Cancer Foundation. So these social workers are dedicated social workers for the units. So they will only be involved with the child with cancer. And so they will help the doctors break the news to the parents in their own language,
right,
so that they can understand, try and understand, and then have ongoing conversations with the family. Because, you know, sometimes, if it's a child that comes from far away, then you have only the mother with the child, and you can't wait for a long period of time before you can get the father or other members of the family there you start the treatment. And then the counseling has to be ongoing, so that they can, when the other members can get to the hospital.
Absolutely.
And actually, you have to go through the whole diagnosis again and what's going to happen, et cetera. So it is sometimes very difficult for everybody, but it's actually everybody is there to work towards helping the family.
Prof. Jeanette, thank you so much for your work. Thank you so much for your dedication to assisting families, to your research, your work in academia, and your work in the hospital. We're completely, as a country, indebted to you. But also, thank you so much for your time this evening here on Point of View. We really, really do appreciate you coming on to Kaya 959. Thank you so much.
Point of View
on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.